Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, we're going to learn more about some Buffalo Bills draft picks. Chase Lunt, taken by the Bills, sixth round. You know, the Bills had a, they have another player on their team, an offensive lineman, Ryan Vandermark, who went to UConn, that football factory of UConn, right? It's worked out pretty well. I mean, Ryan Vandermark's a nice backup piece for them, and now they go out and get another big athletic lineman. And here to talk about it here on the Western Hotline is Joe Aruda, who is a writer, follows and beat the beat writer for the UConn basketball and football team. And he joins us here on the Western Hotline from the Hartford Courant. Hi, Joe. It's Sal Capaccio here in Buffalo. Good to talk to you today.
How's it going? Thanks for having me.
You got it. I got to ask you first and foremost, I noticed on your phone number you have a Syracuse area code. Did you go to SU?
No, I did not. I grew up in Geneva, New York.
All right. All right. Well, you're familiar then with New York State and Western New York and the passion for the Buffalo Bills, which is why we're asking about a sixth-round offensive lineman.
Yes, absolutely.
All right. So tell us a little bit about Chase Lunt and what he brings to the table as a football player.
I mean, you mentioned it. I mean, he's big. He's athletic. You know, I think with these UConn guys, you know, he's shown a lot of, you know, ability to fight through adversity and to stick with something. You know, he's at UConn for 6 years total and, you know, only won three games through the first three. So, you know, this is a guy that's been through the fire and, you know, he's been a beloved locker room guy since, you know, I started covering the team. So, you know, I think that was a good pick in the sixth round especially.
Yeah, and he actually he's a kid from Texas, I see, that chose to go all the way to UConn. Quite the journey, but obviously he's a guy that he's seen his share of high-level football, whether it's at Texas or even UConn, which actually has been a program that's had some recent success.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he was a two-star recruit, and he came to UConn, and he stuck it out. And, you know, UConn brought in, you know, a really good offensive line coach in Gordy Samus, you know, when they hired Jim Mora, you know, back in 22. And I think, you know, that's really helped them. They've had, you know, two offensive linemen drafted in the last 3 years, you know, and yeah, they've had a lot of talent at that position and Chase is one of them.
All right. So I'm looking at his NFL draft profile. Lance Zierlein does a great job. He actually projected him to go in round four or five. And his NFL comparison was Liam Eichenberg, who actually has played in the NFL, and he's been around for a little while. So that's pretty high praise right there. What does Chase Lunt, what did UConn do on offense that we can translate to the NFL and say, this is the kind of offense they ran and maybe what you're looking at with a guy like Chase Lunt and what he's been able to do?
Yeah, well, UConn's offensive scheme is really built, you know, to showcase its run game and its offensive line. They run that outside zone, you know, zone running scheme where, you know, these offensive linemen are able to thrive. And I think a lot of NFL teams and Coach Samus was telling me this, you know, they like UConn guys because they've run a lot of the plays that they're going to see at the next level. Mm-hmm. And they're prepared for what's going to get thrown at them right away. So I think that definitely helped out, you know, looking at him. And I think the reason why he ended up going a little later was, you know, he heard his, I forget what the exact injury was, but he had a lower body injury during the bowl game. So he wasn't able to fully participate in like the Senior Bowl and in the combine and everything like that. So I think that might've hurt him a little bit. But his goal at his pro day was to show teams that he can move around. And that's really been one of his main skill sets.
What is he like off the field? You've covered this young man for a few years now. What is Chase Lunt? What are the Bills getting in Western New York getting in a human being that's going to enter this locker room and live in this community?
Yeah, I mean, he's a really mature guy. He's a little older, but, you know, like I was saying earlier about the locker rooms that he's been in, you know, he stuck it out with UConn, which you don't see. You know, a lot of offensive linemen like to move around, especially, you know, the way his career started. You know, he redshirted that 2019 season, and then they didn't play a season in 2020. And then he comes back, coach is fired 2 weeks into the 21 season. They win one game, and he sticks around and eventually gets a bowl win on his resume. So this is a kid that's mature. You know, all of his teammates love him. I've never heard a bad word about him. And, yeah, he's been through the fire.
Joe Ruta joining us here on the West Hur Hotline. If I can for a minute, I know you cover UConn basketball, obviously. What's been the reaction to the season they had after back-to-back national championships?
Yeah, I mean, you can't – UConn fans would love to get a national championship every year. But, you know, last year they missed on a couple transfer portal guys. And I think right now there's a lot of excitement that, you know, they're going to be back, you know, into that contention. They got a lot of big names back, just got, you know, team captain Alex Caravan back. And they've done some pretty good things to fill their needs in the portal. So, you know, and obviously they played Florida as tight as anybody in the tournament. So, I think it was kind of an honorable exit, but yeah, I think they'll be back.
And then obviously Danny Hurley, a polarizing guy, a great coach, but we saw a lot of things last year that kind of, I would say, made him polarizing around the country. What is Storr's affinity for Danny Hurley and the way he coaches and what he does with that program?
Yeah, I mean, he's a really, you know, he's built for viral moments. I think a lot of things that he does, you know, can go viral, but I think, you know, having covered him very closely, he's not always like that, even though those are always what goes viral. And, you know, I think he fits sort of the mentality of people around here, and they kind of agree with him. And when he's winning, you know, they love him. So, I think, you know, he's a really real guy, and he wears his emotions on his sleeve. And I think people here relate to that.
And obviously the women, they get back on top. They win the national championship. Can you describe for people here? Now, we have a really nice women's basketball program here at the University of Buffalo. They actually did win the women's NIT. It was fun. It was cool. But, you know, then they lose their coach, because that's what happens here when you have a mid-major program. Not like it is in Storrs. Can you describe for people here what it's like in Storrs, Connecticut, with the women's basketball team?
It's like a factory. You know, Gino, he's been doing it for so long, and he's got it running. You know, it's one of the smoothest operations I think you'll see in the country. They share the same building as the men's program, and you just, you know, you can feel the energy in that place.
Yeah, and as far as just are these the way that the program is viewed, not like it is a lot of places around the country, even for some men's teams, the way that the women are viewed in UConn, I'm guessing.
Yeah, I mean, they're royalty. You know?
Right.
I mean, they're, you know, people here have been loving women's basketball for a long time, and they have deep, deep tradition.
All right, Joe. Well, thank you very much for joining us here today. Tell everybody where they can find you if they have any more questions or they just want to follow. We got actually quite a few people here in Western New York that might be UConn fans as well as on the basketball side. But tell everybody where they can follow you and your work.
Yeah. Well, we'll be out there in Buffalo later this or in the fall. But Joe Ruta 9 on Twitter's, my social media, and then Hartford Current.com. Spelled C-O-U-R-A-N-T. So you can find me there and check out some stuff.
Why are you going to be in Buffalo in the fall?
UConn football is playing.
That's right. Right. Okay. That's right. You know what? I just had Pete Lembo, the UB Bulls coach on the air, and I totally forgot about that. You're right about that. What does UConn look at? Let's give a little preview here then. What is UConn football looking at once we get to the fall and they come to Buffalo to take on the Bulls?
Yeah, I think they're going to be pretty decent again. I mean, their offensive line, they lost three guys, you know, Chase, their right tackle, and then left tackle, Val Sen, was, you know, signed a contract with the Cardinals. And then they had a guard that went in the CFL draft. So they're rebuilding on that offensive line, but it's been kind of a pipeline lately. So we'll see what they have, you know, coming up through the ranks. But yeah, I think they kept a lot of good offensive players. The question will be on defense, where they got a lot of new guys, but they've been doing pretty well in the transfer portal. So,
yeah, that's
seems
to be
exciting year.
Seems to be the buzz two words these days, the transfer portal, right?
Oh, yeah.
What's going on, no doubt. All right, UConn at UB. September 27th coming up this year. We don't know the Bills schedule yet, if the Bills are going to be home or away that weekend, but the UB Bulls will be home against UConn. So thanks for that reminder, Joe. Thanks a lot for joining us here today on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
You got it. That is Joe Arruda. I'm glad he brought that up. I totally forgot. That's right. UB's schedule to start the year. My apologies, by the way, because I did have Pete Lembo out and we talked about it, but totally slipped my mind. UB goes to Minnesota to start the season in football this year on August 28th. Then St. Francis of PA comes here. Then they go to Kent State. They have Troy come here. Troy's been a nice program. And then UConn comes here before they get more to the meat of their MAC schedule after that. So, yeah, it's an interesting five games to start the year, especially when you look at Minnesota, UConn, a program that's, I mean, they're getting guys drafted. Hey, UB didn't have anybody drafted, but Sean Dolak is in L.A., signs with the Rams. I know a lot of you wanted him, and that was a big question about why the Bills did or didn't do anything like that. So thanks a lot to Joe Arruda right there. We're also going to talk today to Jeff Ehrman, who covers Maryland football and basketball, and we'll talk about Caden Prather. And as I said a little while ago, I don't know if I give Caden Prather much of a chance to even make this roster, to be quite honest with you, because I think of the names in front of him, now that the Bills have signed Elijah Moore. Take a look at Elijah Moore's stats over his time in the NFL. When you think about a guy who was drafted in the second round, has played for two teams in his first 4 years, and then doesn't even sign a free agent contract until April 30th, or agree to at least, until April 30th, well after most free agency is kind of passed by. When you think about a guy like that in your head, you're thinking, yeah, this guy hasn't been much. This is just a throw, a dart throw. You might even think about a guy like Andy Isabella, who came to Buffalo and is under similar circumstances last year, 2 years ago, whatever it was. I do think Elijah Moore is different than that. This is a receiver that had over 100 targets each of the last 2 years, not just last year, in Cleveland. This is a receiver that for the last 2 years had 59 and 61 catches respectively, so 60 catches each year over the last 2 years essentially. This is a receiver that has never had less than 446 yards receiving, and the last 2 years has had about 600 yards receiving each year. When I say that, the reason I bring it up is I don't think this is your typical guy that was drafted in the second round, didn't hit with his first team, traded to another team, didn't hit there, goes to free agency, doesn't sign. Yeah, he's never really been able to do anything in the NFL. He actually has been pretty productive in the NFL. So much so productive, I want to put this in context. I'm not here to tell you Elijah Moore is going to be this some great signing for the Bills. He might. He might pop. He might have a really good season. But I do think he can contribute, and I do think he has a pedigree to be better than what they've had in these types of situations in this context. Last year, the Buffalo Bills, their number two pass catcher in numbers last year, their number two pass catcher in numbers was Mac Hollins. Wide receiver-wise, because they had Dalton Kincaid was number two and James Cook was number three. How many receptions did Mac Hollins have last year? 31. That's it. You went from 76 to 31. Shakir, 76. Hollins, 31. And Curtis Samuel, by the way. I should put them both. I'm sorry. They both had the same amount. Hollins and Samuel each had 31. Elijah Moore had 61 on the Browns. I mean, he basically doubled last year with the Cleveland Browns, the Bills' second receiver numbers-wise last year. That's why I think that you have to respect this from a standpoint of what he might be and be able to do and how he can fit on the Buffalo Bills. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. We'll get to 11 o'clock. We'll learn about Caden Prather. And then at 11:30, Jonathan Peterlin's going to join us, afternoon host in Cleveland, to tell us a little bit more about Elijah Moore here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR.